Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition. We have a very special show for you today. We have a great guest. He's a repeat guest. He's none other than Mr. George Ross. At 96 years of age, one of the wisest men I know. On today's show, we're talking about current events. Listen to my conversation with George Ross.
Hi there.
Hey, good evening, George. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm trying to figure why it was so dark. Let me just get you more light.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Well, welcome, George. Great to see you, as always.
Yeah.
And you're now full-time in Florida. You sold your house.
Yes, I have.
What was that like after so many years in Hewlett Harbor?
Yeah, that's different, but you have to... Life goes on. Things change.
Absolutely. It's been a while since we've spoken. I'm curious to get your thoughts. There's so much that's happening in the public sphere. Obviously, you know Donald better than almost anybody on the planet, having worked with him for so long. And just wanted to get maybe some of your general take. I mean, what we're seeing in the news is absolutely unprecedented. Right? In
terms of someone. Yes, it certainly is unprecedented.
I mean, normally for any other person, criminal charges would absolutely torpedo a political bid, even for garbage collection. Right. And he's running for president, and it seems to be just like water off a duck's back.
Crazy, isn't it? It's crazy, but what can I tell you? He's got a tremendous following.
You've obviously been following it. Some of the charges clearly are political. It's not a, and yet they still might stick. You know, what's your perspective? Is this going to affect the presidential race?
Oh, it's going to. It's very hard to figure it out because it's never happened before.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. How his following will go after him, and the more that they antagonize him, the better he seems to be doing. But it's too early to figure it out.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, we're certainly in turbulent times. There's just so many things going on. Dave Zook and I were talking earlier, and we've got hot wars in several locations. We have what could be a global dislocation of energy markets if the Suez Canal gets shut down. We just have so many risks. And yet, Europe is clearly in recession. It looks like there's many signs that is going to cascade into North America. UPS laid off 12,000 people yesterday, which is really a bellwether for the economy as it relates to just movement of goods and services. What should we as investors be paying attention to? What do we just ignore it and forge ahead?
When you say ignore it, that's all you can do, because the rest of what you're doing is pure speculation, and it's never happened before. So I think we just have to ride with it and see where it goes, which is, nobody likes to do that. But meanwhile, life goes on. The world is going on in the different places, and that's... Basically, you have to do it. It's what can I tell you? It's very strange times at this, but just go with it and see what happens.
We've seen as interest rates have risen, many property values have, especially in the world of multifamily, have dropped sometimes 20-30% as cap rates have expanded. That doesn't necessarily translate into catastrophe by any means, unless you are forced to refinance at an inopportune time. Yet there's still this feeling that the entire industry is a little bit under assault, and it's making it difficult for investors to wrap their arms around even the notion of valuation. What would you think in the current environment?
Well, I think it depends on what you're planning on doing. If somebody's got... You can't really answer that question the way that you presented it, because it's unusual. Tell me what, do you think it's a good time to buy, a good time to sell, depending on the area you're at? And you really have to be involved with a specific question and a specific answer. And that's about as far as you can go. generalities are not going to help.
All right, so let me make it more specific. I mean, there's certainly a number of projects that are appearing to be distressed, where borrowers would have used bridge debt over the last several years to finance a project, and now they're getting into permanent financing, and they're going to need to bring a substantial additional equity to the table in order just to convert into permanent financing. For the original deal sponsor, that represents a problem because they have to go back and either do a capital call with their investors, or they're going to have to raise additional equity, and it's not a great story, so it's very difficult to raise equity in that environment. A lot of people are advocating using preferred equity at that stage, almost coming in as a mezzanine tranche ahead of the common equity. As if you were that preferred equity, obviously you got to do the due diligence on each specific project, but what are your thoughts on the actual risk-adjusted returns of, yes, you might have a coupon that's in the mid to upper teens, but at the end of the day, you're either going to get those mid to upper teens or you're going to get zero because you're going to get wiped out along with the common equity. What are your thoughts on using preferred equity to come in and rescue projects and potentially put yourself in a preferred position?
Oh, I think it's fine. That's fine. The projects, basically, real estate is still very solid. The problem is the investors, especially the finance, the banks and what have you, they're nervous, with a right to be nervous, because they're looking at an economy and they're looking at various places, and it's on the shaky side. They don't like it when there's it's not covered perfectly. They like it. They like no problems, no waves. So you're dealing, you have to talk about dealing with a specific investor and explain this to the investor that this is a period that's going through, but real estate is still strong. And over a period of time, you work it out. And the investors, or not, let me put the banks or whoever it is, they're just going to have to wait. They'll be nervous, but they're not going to do anything drastic, because when you do something drastic, it gets worse. In other words, if they take an action in foreclosure, that's not going to make it any better. It only makes the whole economy more shaky or nervous. And I think you just have to be a little cautious and ride with it. And when I say come up with some kind of a solution that solves the problem on a short-term basis and say, let's wait a month, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, or what have you, see what happens. Do some kind of a stopgap measure to overcome the feeling that is going on, because it's hard to explain. It's typical bank thinking. When things start to get a little wacky, so the banks get very nervous.
Right.
When the banks and the lenders get very nervous, and they get nervous because they're thinking of a trend. And say, well, if this is going, it's going to get worse. That's nothing to indicate it's going to get worse, except they're feeling it's going to get worse because you have a trend. Now, the trend doesn't mean anything until the trend becomes actuality. So it's very hard for me to explain. I've lived through a lot of these. And the lenders just have to going to have to wait. Or the people put in and say, fine, look, I'll do the best I can. I'll give you what I can. But don't do anything drastic. Say, let's wait 30 days, 60 days and see what happens. And we'll worry about it at that time when we see what is going on and overcome the feeling that is in the air now of uncertainty. Everything is uncertain, so nobody knows where to go. Or figures they know where to go. So it's hard for me to give you any kind of a definitive response, because we've not lived through one of these situations in quite a while.
Right.
In other words, real estate is not bad. It's not a question that there people are losing jobs left and right and they don't have the money. Tenants can't pay rent. And so that's most of it is something which is conjured up or figured up and then carried out to say, well, it's going to get worse. Why? Who says it's going to get worse? It's when you see the trend in the banks and the lenders, and especially the secondary lenders. Good. You let them wait. You'll do the best you can, protected is what you have. But when things go the way they're going now, or the trend, hey, lenders are going to have to just take their lumps and see what happens. Most of it, you find out, turns out to be theoretical, or they're saying, well, this is the way it's going, and it's going to get worse. Who says?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a lender, that you say, fine, I got to put up more money, things have to go. The investors and the people that own the real estate are going to have to take some lumps. Now, they're not serious lumps, because most of them are theoretical. You know, they look at setting the trends that's going on, and they make certain projections based on the trends. That doesn't mean that it'll actually be. So as long as you give to your lenders or whoever has to put up the secondary money the feeling of security that you know what you're doing, you're going to be all right. Are they going to be happy with it? No. They would prefer to have more protection. If things are going a little south, I would like to be an extra 30 days or 90 days or money that's there. I'd like to have that protection. That's nice, but it doesn't work that way. You're dealing in a volatile market, but you're dealing in a market which is unpredictable at the present time. And then as a result of the unpredictability, that the lenders or the people coming up as sectors have a tendency to overreact to a situation which is not as bad as they it looks. It's hard. I'm not giving you a straight answer because I can't.
Oh, fair enough.
But if you speak to your lenders or the secondary money, then say, look, we'll be there. We have the protections. We're doing everything that we can. We will bail out and just sit tight for a while and let's see what happens. So instead of doing something now, let's figure what we're going to do in 30 or 60 days. And they have to go. They don't really have an alternative. They don't like it. You may get a lot of threatening responses saying, well, you're supposed to pay me in 30 days and you don't have, where is the money? And it's a little hairy time. But this has happened before. It's not something that's brand new. However, what's going on in the world with wars and what's going on in various places and countries, that is something which is unheard of and hard to figure out. What's the effect of the war in Russia or China? And business, however, is still going pretty good.